Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Liverpool FC Digest. I'm your host, Ben Walsh, and in this episode, we're going to be building up to the Lincoln City match in the EFL Cup, as well as rounding up a busy week of media discussions and transfer talk. I'll also be talking about a project that's going on with the LFC Foundation that has been impacting lives in a really positive manner around Liverpool. And then I'll finish off with discussing the Arsenal match moving forward and a social media roundup. But before moving on, I would like to just take the time to thank all of the listeners and subscribers for taking the time to tune into the show. If you do like the show, please do subscribe, and you can now find us on Google Podcasts and Spotify as well. So make sure you leave some feedback or share the episode if you have enjoyed it. And I will be releasing another episode on Tuesday following the Arsenal match, so make sure you come back to hear the post-match analysis of that game as well. But now let's move on to our pre-match talk of the Lincoln City game. So the Lincoln City game is our first cup competition fixture of the season, and let's get things straight. It's our first opportunity to see our youngsters and our wider squad take part. Pep Linders took the press conference yesterday, and he highlighted a few things which got me quite excited, which I can't normally say for the Carabao Cup, if that's even what it's called anymore. I'm not trying to disrespect the competition, but it's hard to take it seriously when our own manager sees it as a bit of a Mickey Mouse competition. No disrespect to Klopp. I love the way he's going about it. He sent Linders in last year, and he sent him again for this year for the press conferences. You know, he's not going to change for anyone. That's just how it is. And I doubt any Premier League team takes it seriously within the first few rounds. It only normally starts to pick up in intensity at the quarterfinals, I find. So I'm expecting a mixed squad, and that's what Linders highlighted in his conference meeting. He said that we'd be surprised at how strong the team would be. I think that's trying to show that we're taking it seriously, and that we're not going to treat Lincoln as a pushover. And rightly so, because like I covered in my last podcast, they are in good form at the moment. In particular, that 5-0 win over Bradford in the previous round sticks out to me. That's a really great result for them, and they're doing well, scoring goals, not conceding very much, and they're quite high up in the league as well. So I think it's right that we take them seriously. But with that being said, the main reason we're likely to field a stronger 11 is to build up momentum and fitness and game time for some of our players. Even though Lincoln are looking good in their own league, even our reserves and youngsters would probably get the result done. So, as I mentioned, Linders has highlighted in his press conference that we're likely to see some of the first team players. So let's just have a closer look at which team first team players we're likely to see. So in goal, I imagine Adrian will come in. There's no reason why Alisson would need to play this game. And Adrian has probably been told that he'll have cup competition duties. I don't think we'll see Kelleher. I just feel Adrian deserves to have a game. In defence, as we know, we've got a centre-back issue at the moment. As we all know, Matip and Gomez are currently out. So it'll be interesting to see who's going to come in, because I'm not sure he'll want to risk Van Dijk against Lincoln in the EFL Cup so early on in the season. And that just leaves us with a defence that will probably be quite makeshift. I think Fabinho will probably come in again. And then you could see Van de Berg or Cometio play alongside him. I know Cometio had some last-minute checks yesterday, so I'm not sure if he's even going to be ready. So I think I would expect Fabinho and Van de Berg to play as centre-backs against Lincoln. And then full-back-wise, but in my opinion, I think Tsimikas will come in as left-back, and then we'll see Milner play in the midfield. I think then, after Milner being picked in the midfield, you've got to see Jones play. You know, he's been told that he's going to have a bigger role to play this season. His squad number has obviously changed to Steven Gerrard's second number of his career, to number 17. He's going to be looking to play more often, and I'd imagine these are the kind of games that he's certain to play, at very least, to be honest. And moving forward, I'd also expect him to play in games such as at home to Fulham. I'd expect him to get a lot more appearances this year, and I think he's a dead cert to play in this game. And then in our final midfield position, I'm not sure. It could be either Thiago or Keita, in my opinion. I don't think he's going to play Henderson because of his injury against Chelsea. And I don't think he's going to play Wijnaldum, because if you bring Milner in, then we're not going to have the dynamic ability, and it's just too negative to play against Lincoln with both Milner and Wijnaldum in there. So I'd expect to see either Thiago or Keita. I'm going to say I think Thiago will play because Keita has played both of the Premier League games so far. So Thiago could do with a bit more time around the players to learn our style. So I'm going to go with Thiago. I think he'll be likely to be starting. If not, he'll most likely come off the bench at some point as well. And then the most difficult positions to pick are the front three. So, you know, you've got Jota, Minamino, Shaqiri, Origi all to choose from. And, you know, the main front three of Mane, Salah and Firmino are definitely going to be knocking on the door to want to start as well. They're so hungry to score goals. But I think we'll see probably Origi start. I think he'll be our focal point down the middle. And then either side of him, I think we'll see two of the following three of Shaqiri, Minamino or Jota. I don't think we'll go for Elliot because we've just got so many players that need a bit of game time at the beginning of the year. I think Elliot will come in more in the later parts of the season when we've got a fixture build up over Christmas. But for the time being, I would like to see Jota and Minamino, but I think that mix is quite narrow because both Minamino and Jota and Origi all like to play in the middle. They look more comfortable in the middle. So would we just be cutting inside every time? With that being said, at least he can put in an excellent cross from the wing. So I'm not sure, but I'm gonna expect Minamino and Jota to play. I'm really excited to see Jota play because whenever we've watched him play against us for Wolves, I've never really valued his work rate and his quality. So now that he's in a red shirt, it'll be interesting to see just how good he is. And Linders was saying he has wonderful potential, and he was saying how much input he was trying to put into us signing him. He was saying that from a young age, he's shown that he's got really good quality. Linders used to work with him in Porto, and he was really happy. You could see he was jubilant at the fact that we'd signed him, and he came out and said it's just a wonderful signing for Liverpool. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what his future is like at Liverpool. I'm expecting to play in this game, so hopefully he can get a goal or just get used to our link-up play. And yeah, and with Origi, I'm really thinking this will probably be his last year for Liverpool, depending on how he does. Last year, he was quite stale, considering how good he was the season before. I think back to those goals against Barcelona and Newcastle and Everton. And then last year, he didn't really have much input at all. So it'll be interesting to see how he interacts with Jota, what kind of positions he'll take up alongside him, how he'll play with Thiago as well. Will Thiago be able to pick him out more than our other midfielders used to be able to? So there's a lot of interesting factors in play. So I'm looking forward to seeing Origi again this year, because I think it could be his last if his output isn't as good as it was in that season when we won the Champions League. Let's move on to predictions now. I think we're going to win. I think it's going to be a comfortable win. Earlier on in my previous podcast, I had predicted 3-1 or 2-0. I'm going to stick with that, 2 or 3-0, or maybe 3-1. I don't think we'll be troubled. I don't think we'll be taken close to the wire. I think we'll see it out easily, because I'm expecting an experienced team to come in with just a few young additions. Let me know what you think of my pre-match analysis and build-up in the comments section. And that'll be all for the Lincoln game. I'm expecting a great game, so come on, Red Men. Now let's move on to our media talk and transfer discussions. So, as we all know, last week was incredibly busy after we brought in both Thiago and Jota. In my last episode, I went through each signing and why I think they'll be good deals. I also covered Hoover's departure as well, for £13 million to Wolves. And in this episode, I'm going to talk about both Brewster and Wilson apparently being close to leaving as well. So, according to Sky Sports, Wilson is close to leaving to Burnley for £15 million, and Brewster is close to leaving to Crystal Palace for £19 million. That, with Hoover's transfer fee and Lovren's transfer fee, would take our total to £67 million in. And considering we've only had to pay £5 million up front for Jota and £5 million in the first year for Thiago, that's a profit of £58 million that we've accumulated over this transfer window. And that's without even selling Grujic just as yet and other players that are due to depart as well. So I think those kind of numbers should be able to offset the disappointment for losing players such as Wilson and Brewster. In particularly, I'm most disappointed in losing Brewster. But let's be honest, he's not going to really play too much apart from in the cup competitions. He isn't the kind of striker that we're used to playing with, and he needs the experience for his own development. So the best thing we could do is to let him go and secure a buyout clause for him. And that's exactly what we've gone and done. We've secured a £37 million buyout clause, buyback clause, so that we can be the first suitors to make a bid if they were to sell him in the future. I think that's the most sensible transfer discussion that we could do with Brewster. It wouldn't be fair to keep him on the books at the moment. If you look at other players around him of a similar age from that World Cup winning squad, such as Foden, Hudson-Odoi, Sancho, they've all gone on and become great players, getting a lot of minutes and scoring goals. So it's only fair to him that he goes off and gets the game time he needs. I'd fully expect him to have a successful season at Crystal Palace as well. They desperately need goals, and with Roy Hodgson's tactics, I'd imagine he would actually score quite a lot of goals. I wouldn't be surprised, so keep an eye on him, because I don't think the lack of Premier League experience will be negative for him. I think he's just a naturally great player, and I'd expect similar results from when he went on loan to Swansea. In terms of Wilson, yes, I'm disappointed that he hasn't progressed too much, but he needs to leave. I think he comes under the bracket of the Solanke and Ibe transfers. The fact that, yes, they have a certain quality that looks quite good, but they're not Liverpool standard, unfortunately. And then obviously we've seen with Ibe and Solanke, Stewart as well, that yeah, they never were Liverpool quality, and that's fine. You know, you can still go off and have a good career, but yeah, I'm quite glad to see Wilson come off the books, because I never really thought he would make it, really. And then there's also Grujic as well, who's expected to leave at some point. Apparently, Hertha Berlin are considering a £20 million bid for him. So yeah, if we can get that in for him as well, that would be great, because we've got a lot of players that are taking up high wages, and it'll be great to see us turn a profit on players that aren't getting too much game time. But with that being said, the Grujic deal is just rumours at the moment, and both Wilson and Brewster are still in the works. So let's not get too excited about the amount of money we're bringing in, or let's not get too disappointed if you wanted any of them to stay. As you'll find out on this podcast, I'm not one to talk too much about transfer rumours. So I try and keep it straight to the point to just confirm deals, because I don't want to end up with a situation like with Werner this summer, where everyone thought we were bringing him in for months, doing hour-long talks on how he's going to impact our team moving forward, and where they would like him to play. And in the end, it didn't happen. And the only thing you're going to get from that is we were actually ousting our own players in the process. You know, people were ready to ship off Origi. People were ready to ship off Shaqiri just for the sake of a rumour. So I don't think it's fair on our current players to do that. So let's give our own players the benefit of doubt before getting excited about the rumours. But there is one player that is immune to my rules on transfer talk, and that is Mbappe. Again, we've been linked with him. Apparently, we've been holding talks with him, and he's considering moving to us at some point in the future. There's something about this that isn't going away. It's been going on for a couple of years now, where I think it first started with Mbappe complimenting Liverpool, and it just seems to have picked up pace last year and again this year. I think a lot of people are expecting him to leave PSG this year, at the end of this season, but I think Madrid is the most likely place for him. Klopp obviously came out and said it's impossible for us to be able to afford him. But I don't know if he's just holding his cards tight to his chest there. I'm not trying to give away anything too much, but I don't know. There's something about this one that just seems like it could one day happen. Away from transfers, though, in other news, Klopp has been nominated for the UEFA Men's Coach of the Year alongside Hansi Flick and Julian Nagelsmann. So three Germans completing the shortlist. It's obvious to me that it's no competition. Klopp wins hands out each time. I know Hansi Flick has transformed Bayern and won another title and won the Champions League with them, but I think Klopp is a class above. You know, he's built something remarkably special at Liverpool, and now we've won our first title in 30 years. So, and we've also become world champions. So let's have it how it is. Liverpool are currently the world's best team, and Klopp has led us to that. So he definitely deserves it, and I look forward to seeing him lift the award. I can't imagine a better manager than him. So yeah, well done to Klopp. And last but not least, another story about Klopp is about some footage that emerged from our game with Chelsea, where he was seen turning around to his own bench and disciplining one of the members of staff when they celebrated the red card for Christensen. And the cameras picked him up saying or shouting at this member of staff that we don't ever do that, ever. So, yeah, it was great to see that kind of sportsmanship. I'm not sure if it was because Lampard was the opposition manager and they've had some disagreements in the previous game, but it was really good to see a bit of sportsmanship and Klopp trying to build a culture. So not afraid to shout at his own colleagues and teammates in order to build this reputation that we've got at the moment of being a great team in all aspects. So yeah, I would like to see more of that. Yeah, well done Klopp again. You know, I can't sing his praises enough. He's the best there is. So yeah, like I said, that concludes media and transfer talk. Now let's move on to bringing you some updates from the wider LFC family. So in my first episodes last week, I didn't have enough time to cover the LFC wider family. So this is my first edition. And then the overall aim is to try and cover as much of the good work that Liverpool Football Club is doing around the world. A lot of the things that I'll cover will probably be in the Liverpool community, but please, as a listener or a subscriber, please do send me any information or any projects that you might be involved in, or anyone that you know in a fan base, if they're doing any projects, please send it through to me and I'll try and cover it on an episode or two. It doesn't have to be an official Liverpool program. It could be anything that you're doing outside of football as well. Just, I want to share what all the fans and what all fan bases are doing around the Liverpool FC community. So yeah, in this episode, I'm going to focus on the LFC Foundation, who is the official Liverpool Football Club charity. And in particular, I'm going to talk about their military veterans program that they're running. And the aim of this program is to try and support male and female war veterans back into civilian life through the means of football sessions and coaching. So reading directly from the LFC Foundation's website, it says the program is trying to recapture some of the spirit of service and camaraderie that is so powerful amongst ex-military personnel and is then often lost on their return to society. So it's looking at trying to rebuild that through sociable events, like weekly football games, which hopefully will help improve mental well-being as much as physical well-being. And it is for free, running each week across Liverpool. So I'm not sure if any of you as listeners have ever read about what it is to be a military veteran, but I would recommend you spend some time to read about this project. And if you are a military veteran, then yeah, I hope you can manage to get down to one of these sessions yourself. It's all about looking after each other as a Liverpool community, and not one of our fans walks alone. So I hope that this coverage brings a bit more togetherness amongst the LFC family. We need to live by our motto of "You'll never walk alone." It's our club culture. It's not just a saying. So let's keep sharing, and hopefully let's pass it on to each other, and keep getting involved with your local community. Like I said, if there's any projects that you would like to discuss, then send them through to me and I'll try and cover it on one of my next episodes. That concludes the LFC family section of this episode. Now let's move on to social media and a little bit of pre-Arsenal match talk. Let's begin this final part of the episode by talking about social media and seeing how you've got involved with the podcast online. In this week's episode, I'm going to be focusing on Twitter polls that I've been putting up through the past week or so. I've put up 3 polls and I just want to talk about the results with you. So firstly, after the Thiago transfer, I asked the Liverpool fan base, is Thiago LFC's highest profile signing ever? And 50% of you said yes. The rest of the voters were split between Torres and Suarez. I have to agree with the majority of you. I think Thiago is probably the most high profile signing Liverpool have ever signed, just due to his European pedigree of Champions League wins, Bundesliga title wins, and his current age being 29, he's well known across the world as being one of the best in midfield. When we signed Torres, yes, he had won the European Championship with Spain, but Atletico weren't as good as they were now. He was scoring a lot of goals for them, but he wasn't seen as one of the world's best strikers just yet. He was up there, but he wasn't quite one of the world's best strikers, which he then became with Liverpool. So I think Thiago is probably a bit more high profile than Torres. There's not much in it, because Torres was a fantastic signing for Liverpool at the time. It raised a lot of eyebrows. But with Suarez, I kind of put him in there as a trick question, because he was playing for Ajax. He scored a few goals for them. He wasn't there for too long. Didn't have much of a renowned reputation for scoring a lot of goals with them. He was just very creative. But obviously, everyone knew who he was because of his exploits at the World Cup, with the saving the ball on the line with his hands against Ghana and then celebrating when they missed it. So I'd say that's what everyone knew Suarez for when he signed for Liverpool. So yeah, I'd have to say I agree with you when you've said Thiago. My next poll, I asked, who do you think you are most excited to see in the next game against Lincoln? And 53.8% of you said Jota, and the rest were split between Thiago and Tsimikas. So yeah, I find that quite interesting because it's likely that all three of them will probably play, but the majority of you have said that you'd prefer to see Jota. So is it because you got to see Thiago play 45 minutes against Chelsea? I'm not sure. In my opinion, I'm more excited to see Thiago because I think he's going to really dictate play, and I think he opens doors that none of our other midfielders can. But yeah, I'm also really excited to see Jota, as I've said earlier on. But yeah, it's a close call, difficult one. And in my last post, I asked, who will you be most disappointed to see leave this transfer window? And this was a resounding one for Brewster with 81.8%. Again, I couldn't agree more with you. I wouldn't be too disappointed to see Gruitch or Wilson leave. I put Hoover in there because I was hoping a few of you might have said Hoover, but yeah, for me, Brewster by far would be the most disappointing loss. But yeah, thanks for all your votes and your feedback on my my polls. Keep an eye out for more moving forward. I'll put up another one after the game, so keep an eye out. And yeah, look forward to making some more about how you can get involved with the episode. So maybe I'll be putting out a poll soon on asking you what you would prefer to listen to. So yeah, thanks again, and keep your eyes posted. I wouldn't be surprised if he were to score against us. I think it will be a well-contested game. This early on in the season, there's not much to go by, but I think we'll probably win 2-1, just about. But I wouldn't be surprised if we drew 1-1, to be honest. I just feel like the way Arsenal are shaped under Arteta, they're good at playing against the bigger teams. I think Arteta drills them well into absorbing a lot of pressure against teams that like the ball. As we saw, they beat Man City in the FA Cup. So they have got it in them to upset the big teams, which is strange to say. You know, it's been a long time since Arsenal were a big team that I no longer see them as a big team, which is strange. But against the teams like West Ham, they do struggle, as we saw in their last fixture last week, where they won 2-1 courtesy of a late goal. But West Ham should have finished that game off in the second half. And yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we get a different kind of Arsenal that's more compact, looking to hit on a break. But I still think we've got too much for them, especially with the addition of Thiago. I don't think they can sit back and just let him dictate with the ball at his feet. I think it'll be suicide for Arsenal and for many teams this season. I think it's a great transfer that really shakes up teams' approach when playing against Liverpool, because far too many teams last season were just happy to sit behind the ball and not do anything with it. Now they can't do that because Thiago's quality with the ball, as we saw against Chelsea, is incredible. You know, the most attempted passes for anyone that's only played 45 minutes in the Premier League. He had more attempted passes than any of the Chelsea team who played 90 minutes. So, you know, he's going to be aiming to get at you all game long. So yeah, I wouldn't be too surprised if they caused us a little bit of trouble, but nothing more than that. I think we'll come away 2-1, maybe 3-1 victors. And that's about all the time we have for this episode. Thanks again for listening. And if you did like it, then please do subscribe and share. Like I said, keep an eye on my social media page, in particular Twitter, @LiverpoolDigest, for more polls and more analysis through the week. Before we do go, I'm going to finish with a quote from one of my all-time favourite Reds, Xabi Alonso. And he said, "It's forever. It's not just about a football club. It's about family and it's how we live." What a great quote from him. And I always wished him the best after his Liverpool departure. I just wish we had more time with him. And he will forever remain one of my favourite Reds for the Istanbul season. So, yeah, that's it, guys. So thanks very much for your time. Look forward to speaking to you on Tuesday after the Arsenal game. Have a good week. You'll never walk alone. And I've been Ben Walsh.